Hiya, pals. Thank you so much for listening. Please take a moment to go give us a 5-star review over on Apple. We would greatly appreciate it, and it helps our podcast grow. The Wolf and Wookie, a WDW podcast, is brought to you by Enchanting Escapes by Lori. Lori and her team are there to help you plan your dream vacation. So whether that's Disney, Universal, or any other destination, the Wolfpack can leave the details to them and enjoy the beauty of your destination without the hassle of the planning. Now, I'm sure you're asking yourself, Wolf, why in the world would I want to pay someone to plan my vacation? You're all about giving the tips, the Wolf tips. Well, luckily, it is completely free to utilize their services. Having to pay someone more is a complete misconception. Utilizing the master planning of Lori or one of her team members will actually save you money by always price monitoring and applying deals or promotions to your reservation. They are the ones that have to stay on hold for hours so that way you don't have to. Disney actually pays them to take care of your every travel need, and they're also there to deal with any problem that may arise while you're visiting the park. So instead of spending your valuable time at the front desk, you could be in the parks with your family while Lori is on the phone dealing with any problem. Are you interested in a free quote? Head over to enchantingescapesbylori.com and let Lori start planning your dream vacation today. Again, that's www.enchantingescapesbylori.com. Hiya, pals, and welcome to the show. I am, of course, the Wolf of Disney, and we are joined today by our good friend, John. John from Started with a Mouse podcast, which I'm very excited to have him on the show. And the Wookiee is on a brief vacation this week, so we are excited to bring him back when he is all said and done with that. So thank you so much, John, for filling in. We really appreciate it. John, you host a podcast show. You are on our show as well, but tell us, where can the Wolfpack find your adventures?
Yeah, of course. Me and my wife, we're on Apple Podcasts. We're on SoundCloud under Started with a Mouse podcast. We're kind of going for version 2.0 on that. We took a few months off, and we're kind of really getting right back into it. We'll actually be dropping a episode later this afternoon. Also, we do have a vlog for most of the Florida things. It's JK Adventures DOT Live. So you can check that out as well. You get to see all the stuff we get to do. We are not Disney annual pass holders yet. We're still waiting for them to drop those annual passes. But once we do, we'll be there. But we're there for all the other stuff, Universal, Busch Gardens, SeaWorld, anything in between. We're pretty much checking it out in the Orlando area, kind of giving you a sense of what you can do outside the Disney bubble.
Absolutely. No, I love that. And as you know, and as we've sort of talked about, I'm big fans of yours. And we actually had the opportunity during my last vacation to actually meet, and we were able to have dinner. And it's a really cool experience to sort of meet someone that you've had interactions with. And I think there's that sense of nervousness that sort of hits some people. And for me, I don't know if I can speak for you, but for me, I wasn't nervous at all. I felt like I knew you guys. So it was really exciting, and we were able to have dinner over on the boardwalk, and then we went over to Disney Springs and we walked around for a little while, and it was just really cool, you know, interacting with you and getting to know you a little bit more. So, you know, I really appreciate you guys taking time out of your schedules to hang out with the wife and I, and, of course do dinner. So that was really, really nice. I really appreciate that, John.
Oh yeah. We had a blast, walking around, just kind of sad we couldn't get into Gideon's because they had like that 2-hour wait. Going to dinner was amazing. You know, every time I meet like somebody new that I haven't met before, it's like the first date butterflies where you're like, Oh God, don't be awkward. Don't be weird. But, no, I had a blast with you guys, and, I can't wait for you to come down next month. So.
Yeah, absolutely. No, we're excited to hang out with you again. We're excited to meet the new addition to your family.
which is Izzy. We I got to meet her a little while ago before we went live here, and she's Jen's just so precious. So Jen's gonna be very jealous. That's sure. That is without a doubt. So let's jump right over into some Disney news. I wanna get your thoughts and opinions on a few things. Obviously, I mean, you touched on it. You're not annual pass holders through Disney World. You do have a lot of the other annual passes, yeah. But annual passes were suspended recently for Disney. What are some of your just initial thoughts on that? And you know, what do you sort of foresee coming out of this?
Well, when we originally moved down here, Disney back in July originally suspended the annual passes, and we have been trying every which way, you know, to try to get one. We can't seem to get any grasp on it. We try to talk to cast members every once in a while and just be like, you know, have you heard anything? You know, what's going on? You know, try to get like an inside track. But I think there's good news on the horizon. I think Disney with, you know, they're starting to put more, I guess, what do they call them? Like shields or barricades in between some things. So I think Disney's starting to get ready to maybe up their capacity a little bit. They're starting to open up more of the hotels back up. More of the restaurants are calling cast members back, which is all awesome news to hear. Our good friend Amber, she works for Universal. She literally just got called back yesterday. So I think we're finally starting to see a turn. And I think with that turn, you're going to see Disney be like, all right, well, I think it's time to reopen the annual passes for Walt Disney World. Obviously, for those that are stuck at Disneyland, it's probably going to be a while before California opens back up and allows, you know, people back in the parks. But I think Disney World, I think maybe within the next, hopefully 5 months or so, we'll see the annual passes open back up.
Yeah, I gotta agree with you there, John. I can't foresee them suspending this program indefinitely. I think it's just something that they're gonna put on hold for right now, just simply because there's so much desire to keep capacity levels at a minimum that it makes more sense for them to keep it that way for now. But I do agree. I think 4 to 5 months, I think you're gonna see a lot of things start to sort of tick back, and that includes, you know, things like the annual pass, but also you know, the dining plan. I think that's something that a lot of people are talking about and saying, hey, you know, I really want this to come back. I really need this. And I think a lot of families benefit from it. And the other thing being the fast pass system as well. Now there's some speculation and there's some talks out there that the fast pass system will see a complete overhaul, which I don't necessarily know how to react to. I think that one of the things that I've heard and seen the most is that they'll start to charge for the program. Now that's fine. My thing is if it's going to be something that I'm going to have to pay for, I want it to be worth every dollar. So if I have a park hopper pass, like I'll pay probably, you know, $200-$300 to get it for all four parks. To any ride, as long as it's for any ride, I'll be good. But if there's some limitations, oh, it's only at one park, that to me just wouldn't necessarily be worth it. So it'll be really interesting to see how those two things come back into play. But, you know, on my recent trip, which I was there, let's see, we went Thursday to Sunday. You know, I will admit that there were a lot more barricades up than the time that we went in October. So it was really interesting to sort of see that. So I do foresee, you know, sort of like you said, a lot more, you know, of a push to get people into the parks, which is a good thing. I mean, you sort of nailed it on the head. You know, one of your friends from Universal is being called back up. So that's what happens is it creates more jobs. It allows people to come back from furlough, all of which are good things for, you know, the foreseeable future of the parks and the way that we need it to go. So any thoughts on dining plan or fast pass? I kind of went off.
Oh yeah, no, you're good, man. This is your show. I'm just letting you, you know, beat you. But no, fast passes, I kind of have like a different opinion about it. We've noticed it since we've gone to the park, since the fast pass system's kind of been suspended. Their lines are so much shorter. It's like they went from like 60 minutes down to 20 and you're on the ride and you're off the ride and like that. Yeah. I almost kind of, and I know a lot of people aren't going to like hearing this, I almost wish they would just get rid of it in all entirety, because it slows down the line, because, you know, you've got this person going in fast pass and then they've got to hold the regular queue line for, you know, 2-3 minutes. And then that holds that up. So I almost wish they would just stand by queue, unless you have like, you know, child swap or What is it? Dash Pass, I think it is.
Yeah, the DAS Pass. Yep. Yep.
If they had those, you know, that's fine. Keep it for that, you know, but
sure.
I mean, we deal with Universal, like you said, with the paying more for, you know, doing the Fast Pass. I mean, they have a thing on theirs with their annual passes. After 2 o'clock and 4 o'clock, you get one free express pass to go into the line for each ride, which is an amazing feature because, you know, as an annual pass holder, my wife gets done off work. We can go shoot over to Universal, go ride Incredible Hulk and a couple rides and then come back home.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Pertaining to the dining program, I am like the number one proponent of the dining program because I'm terrible at saving money. So it's nice if you can just, you know, pay, you know, X amount of dollars and it doesn't matter. And then you can go to the parks and just enjoy it. And all you have to worry about really is giving tips and it makes it a lot easier.
Yeah. You had mentioned that you went over to, was it California Grill?
Yeah.
And had a phenomenal meal. You scan that magic band after the dining, you had the dining plan and it was done. That was it.
Yeah.
So, you know, I definitely agree. You know, the dining plan is something that Jen and I try to take advantage of too. And, you know, we've certainly missed it because for us, I mean, we would get something in the morning, we would get quick service and then we would sit down somewhere for dinner at night. And, you know, for us, we sort of have definitely missed that program pretty considerably, you know, with it being gone. So that's for sure.
I mean, like you mentioned with California Grill, we had a $350 meal. And all, like you said, it's so much easier just to scan the magic band at the end of it and be like, I'm done.
I'm good. Thanks. Yeah. It is definitely a nice feeling. That's for sure. The next piece of news here that I wanted to just sort of touch with you here, John, is the Hall of Presidents. Now, our friends over at Dizology, I don't know if you listen to them or not, but they did a wonderful sort of debate about whether or not the Hall of Presidents is something that should still be around. And so obviously it's closed. They're making way for the new president, which is, you know, traditional for that particular piece. But I'm sort of curious, you know, just simply because I listened to a great debate between Rachel and Sam about how, you know, it's a little dated. It's something that, you know, they could revamp, they could redo. But there's also the sort of sentiment value that, you know, Walt had his fingers on this. This was a Walt sort of passion project, and it's something that he cared very much about. So for me, I sort of saw both sides of the argument, you know, and it is something that I think there are the people who really love the Hall of Presidents and care about it and are intrigued by it every year and go for it for the value that it has on American history. And then there are people who absolutely hate it, whether it's based off of the president who's in there or not. It really doesn't matter. They just don't care for it at all. They could see it overhauled. They could see it completely changed out. So I see sort of both sides. What I think is, you know, really interesting is it does have the opportunity to be anything. You know, there's obviously some talks with Lin-Manuel Miranda about, you know, doing something different within that venue. So, you know, I can't say I lean one way or the other. I think I've seen it once or twice. I try to see it when the new president is put in, just simply to see what they're going to say, how the animatronic looks. I mean, those are all things that are very, regardless of your take politically, those are all things that are really interesting. So it's just one of those things that I think, you know, could it be overhauled? Sure. I mean, you could do so much from, you know, the civil rights movement, the Women's Act. I mean, there's so many different things that you could put in there to go over American history to show how far we've come as a union, that it is sort of interesting to put it in that perspective. But any thoughts there as it closes up? I mean, there's always this talk, I think, every time a new president gets elected, like, it needs an overhaul. We don't need it anymore.
I'm one of the kind of like the Walt people. I really enjoy things that Walt, you know, had his hands on. The last one they put in there, regardless of your political beliefs, was Donald Trump before Joe Biden. His animatronic does not look very good. But I'm hoping they do a little bit with Joe Biden's. Yes, I enjoy the show, but there are other things within the parks that you want to learn about American history. You know, you can. There's obviously the American Pavilion in Epcot. You can go watch that show as well. They used to have the Muppets with the great moments in history right next door to the Hall of Presidents. Also, the Hall of Presidents is a great place to get some air conditioning and get a nap in. Done that once.
Absolutely.
Me too. I'm not going to be shy with you people. But I mean, I enjoy it. It's something, you know, if it's raining, you know, if it's too hot outside and you need some air conditioning, you can go in there and you learn a little bit about history. You know, kids nowadays, I feel like they don't get to learn as much about the past as they do, you know, I mean, they're on their phones constantly and everything else. So, but I mean, either way, I'd be fine with it. I mean, you could put the Muppets in there and have them talk about history for all I care. But I mean, either way, it could stay, it could go. I'd be fine with it. But like I said, I kind of want it to stay just a little bit because, you know, Walt had his hands on it. That's kind of like, you know, the same realm as like It's a Small World.
Yeah, I completely agree. And like I said, the conversation over at Dizology was a really good one. And that's sort of why I'm bringing it up, because I think it is a conversation worth having. So it's... Yeah, I don't want to get political, but it's just one of those things. Like, it's always interesting to see this conversation sort of come up and pop up, you know, whenever there's any controversy or anything like that. But let's jump into the next piece of news here, which for some is going to be really tragical, and for some is going to be not so. I'm not really going to, you know, really care too much. But the Magical Express did recently announce that they're going to be ceasing operation, I believe towards mid-2022, and it does sort of provide, you know, that expectation that there will be another transport system there. There's talks of a train, and I'll be interested to see, you know, so I think I've used the Magical Express a handful of times. I can't really say that it's something that we do every time that we go. We usually rent a car. So this news didn't necessarily break my heart, but what I did see, and we talked a little bit about this on the show that I did with you folks, I do see the ramifications of people saying, all right, well then what's the point of staying at the Disney Resort then?
Exactly.
And I will be curious to see how this will, you know, sort of translate to, I mean, they've got so many hotels, they've got so many different things. Are they going to see a decrease in those numbers in any way, shape, or form because they're foregoing this program? So it's interesting. What are your thoughts on that, John?
I think with kind of, like you said, we've only taken the Magical Express one time, but we enjoyed it. It was fun. You know, you got to, you know, get the little spiel on the bus and everything. And that was fun. I enjoyed it. I could understand why, you know, a mom and dad that have four kids that have saved up for this many years and they were counting on that service. Now they have to go rent a car, or they're going to have to pay for lifts or whatever. Right. They're going to have to pay extra for a service they weren't expecting. My biggest thing is, like you said, what perk are you going to put in place of that? Like, you've got to do something, because there are a million hotels in the Orlando area. There's to be honest, you know, we drive around, there's hotels everywhere. And my biggest thing is if you're expecting these people to ride the train, you're going to have to figure out some way to get their bags to Disney, because you can't have parents that have four or five kids taking them, you know, them taking the train, then getting to Disney Springs, taking their bags to wherever they got to go for that. And then they got to get on a bus and go there. And it's just going to, I think if they do that, it's going to bog down the system even more, because the buses, you know, I love the buses, but they're not super duper reliable. There's been moments, you know, where we've waited 30 minutes for a bus, you know, 40 minutes for a bus. And it's, you just, there's nothing that, it's not Disney's fault, but you know, they just need to be a little more expedited. But at the same time, the Magical Express is a service that a lot of people count on to take them to the Riviera or to Pop Century or whatever. And I'm kind of like you. When we originally started coming down to Disney, we would usually have some sort of car, either from my parents, because they live about 2 hours north of here, or we would rent a car, because it's just easier that way to me.
Me too.
But yes, I understand why people are upset about it. It seems like another way for Disney to kind of cut salaries, which is sad, because I mean, I know they're not specifically Disney employees, are employees of Mears, but still, it's sad.
Well, and you bring up a good point. Like, you know, even if they do take this train, they've still got to figure out a way to get their bags where they're ultimately going to end up. And for me, if I put my bags into the trust of just about anyone else, I still want to take a bag that has like a change of clothes or, you know, just like a couple of things that I know that like when I get to the room, I'm going to want, like, I'm going to want to put on like another round of deodorant or just something to, because I'm in a hot, sticky place. You know, those are some things that, you know, you sort of bring up a good point, you know, and I'll be curious to see how they will expedite that to, you know, a level of understanding, you know, because for the most part, there's always that chance that something goes wrong. And I always try to say, you know, if you can be as prepared as possible, that's probably going to be the best way to go. So take that extra bag with you, even though you really don't need it. So, or they tell you it's going to get to your room. So it will be interesting to see how this all plays out. I do sort of feel like you said, for the family of, you know, six, that's got, you know, two adults, four children. That's tough. That is so tough. Like, yeah, I'm not familiar with Uber or Lyft. I don't think I've ever really utilized the service, but there's only a certain amount of cars that are going to fit that many people. And I've got to admit, I've got to think, because it's a bigger car, it's going to probably be a little bit more expensive as well. Yeah. So
they have basically, like with Lyft, I'll just explain it. They have regular Lyft, Lyft XL, which is for, you know, a family of six. And then you've got the Lyft Deluxe, which are like Cadillacs and stuff like that, fancy cars. But
sure,
they do charge more. And then, you know, also you've got to think, what about kids that are younger? You know, most Lyfts don't have a child seat in it, you know?
Right.
What are you going to do about that? Are you going to lug that around Disney for forever? You know, it's
for several days.
Like, it's very hard, I think.
I agree. It certainly, and we touched on it, there's a lot of places in Orlando, and I'm sure if, let's just play it out. I mean, if taking a Lyft to a hotel that's nearby, a lot of those hotels will offer some type of service to bring you over to one of the parks. You know, if it's $15 as opposed to the minivan being $45, you know, I think a lot of families will say, oh, I'd rather just pay the $15. I'm going to get to the parks either way.
Well, and you brought that point up too, is I'll be honest with everybody, Disney's not cheap. There's plenty of hotels in Disney that are outside of Disney that charge $50-$60 a night on Priceline. And you can, they'll just stay there. They'll save more money that way. And I've told this to plenty of people that have said, you know, well, I don't understand what Disney's doing with this. Like, I really think Disney's going to reverse this decision here in the next month or two. I think it's going to come back. They'll be like, never mind. Magical Express is back.
Sorry. Our bad.
Our bad. We didn't realize this was so important. Sorry.
Yeah. I don't know that it'll be that soon, but I do have a feeling they will still run something that'll be Disney specific. You know, it'll be free, it'll be complimentary, it'll be, you know, part of the package that you're paying for. Because I can't foresee it being still as lucrative, like we've talked about, as lucrative to stay at the resorts moving forward. But
well,
sort of brings me.
I just want to bring up one more point. I apologize. Somebody brought up a point to me. Well, what about the cruises? Because the cruises.
Exactly. That's a great point.
Because like Port Canaveral's not really close. It's about an hour away. So if you're going to force people to take lifts or whatever, that's a lot of money right there too. So that's another thing you've got to look for with this.
Exactly. And especially for, you know, the groups that rent like the vans or things like that, you know, what I'm thinking is if you rent a car, you know, to go on a cruise, you're renting the car, but you're not able to even utilize it. So you're really kind of putting your money into something that you're not going to be able to utilize for, you know, the half the time that you're actually there. So it'll be really interesting, I think, John, to see how this all transpires. But I think, you know, even just in the two of us talking, and I'm definitely not the smartest guy in any room, but in the two of us talking, we're like, there's a lot of problems here. There's got to be someone higher up in Disney who's like, I don't know, man. I don't think this is actually going to work.
They just need to hire us. We'll take care of it for them.
That, you know, that's the Wookiee and I say that all the time. Hey, if you ever need ideas, like if you're listening, Disney, we're here. And that's right again. Here we are. You know, we're saying like, just come hire us. We're good. We're, you know, we're two regular Joes who understand Disney.
Just pay me $50K a year. That's all I need. Only $50K. I just need enough to make it.
There you go. Yeah, just enough to get by. There you go. I'm all about it. This sort of brings up the other news item that I wanted to talk about with you, because as you sort of talked about and we sort of hit on, as you start to take things away, it does become more and more of a question of, all right, well, what else are you going to do for me since I'm staying at your resort? It obviously costs more money. And it's interesting to hear that they're also getting rid of the extra magic hour. They're cutting it in half. So the magical half hour is going to replace the extra magic hour. Now, the couple things that they've said about this that intrigue me is that the extra half hour will be in sort of conjunction with all four parks instead of just one. But you're cutting it in half.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. That means you've got to get up. You know, if the park opens at 7 and the extra half hour starts at 6:30, let's just say I've got to wake up at like 5, be ready by 5:30, probably get on the bus because of a wait or get in my car, mm-hmm. drive over from wherever I'm staying, and then hopefully get in around the 6:30 mark. So for that extra half hour, I just don't know if it's worth it to get up.
Yeah,
that's it. If it was an hour and the park level was going to be low, absolutely, I'm all about it. But if it's only going to be a half hour, or and they're going to do it early, or they're going to do it, even if it's later at night, I think at night is probably the only time that it makes a ton of sense, because, you know, but even with that comes the question of, all right, if it closes at 8, you're still working on getting people out of mm-hmm. there by 8:15. Did I really get a half hour? I don't know.
I mean, I agree with you on that. Personally, I would rather, if you're going to do the half hour before, I'd rather you do it after. I'm not, you know, when I'm on vacation, I like to sleep in a little bit, you know, like 8 or 9 o'clock. But like, like you said, if they do it afterwards, well, then I'm not going to get a full hour, because you're still chasing people out of there. I mean, you see that with Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party and stuff like that. There's people that have been there all day. They're still there at 9 o'clock. You know, they're hiding from cast members and like not showing that they're not supposed to be there. Right. 30 minutes is just too short of a time frame. You're maybe going to get one ride in, and like let's say you go to Magic Kingdom, you walk over to Seven Dwarfs Mine Train because that's the ride you want to ride.
Yeah,
that's at least a 10 minute walk to get over there.
Yep.
And then that's going to be another probably 10, 15 minutes, maybe 20 to wait. There goes your entire time. It's gone.
Exactly. And even let's just play it out. Like, even if the park levels are low, you walk on, there's let's just call it 5 minutes. By the time you get off, you're trying to walk over to the big one. So you're either walking over to Space Mountain, or you're walking over to, you know, Splash Mountain, Big Thunder, or Pirates. And that's a walk. It's a 10-minute walk either way. So it's like, am I really getting anything extra out of that? I just don't know. It's incredibly difficult to sort of understand the logic right now behind those things. So I'm glad we're on the same page.
Well, to be honest with you, like I can see it because I have Universal annual passes and I see what they do for their pass holders. And then I look at what Disney's doing and I'm like, what the heck is going on? Like Universal with me, with my annual pass, like I get in an hour early on the weekends. I can go in an hour early and I have the entire park basically to myself. It's just me and the people that are staying at like the Hard Rock at Universal. Yeah. And I don't see that with Disney right now. And I'm almost at the point where I'm like, what are you doing? Are you trying to lose money? And I mean, we even spoke about this when we were having dinner. Yeah. Like it's kind of confusing right now what they're doing. And I love Disney to death. Don't get me wrong. Don't, you know, I don't want your listeners thinking I hate on Disney or anything.
No.
But me and my wife had a reservation at Wine Bar George on a Saturday night, and they claimed they were at capacity. And I showed you and Jen the photos from the parking lot, and there was no cars. And it's like, how do you sit there and you say you're losing billions of dollars, but you won't open Disney Springs? Like, that's not correlating with me. Like, you're closing your annual passes. You're just seeming like you're trying to shut it down. And I don't understand. Like, Universal and SeaWorld, they're doing everything they can to get people in their parks. And it seems like Disney's almost going the other way.
Yeah. And it's interesting. And we sort of touched on it, like you said, when we were at dinner, about some of the things that were just a little confusing. And we also talked about some of the stuff that was confusing before on your show about, you know, being able to go back and forth before park hopping was back. So I don't know. It just seems like Disney is out somewhere to lunch, you know, just sort of waiting for this pandemic to go by. And once it's done, hopefully they put, you know, whatever food in their mouth that they needed to eat. So just to start to regain some consciousness here, because it does, I do agree. It does sort of feel like, and I love Disney. I will spend the however much money it is that my wife spends when she goes to the Emporium every year. But it's just one of those things that it just, I don't know. It's strange. And it certainly feels like, especially with these two things, you know, the Magical Express and this half hour, that we're sort of going in the wrong direction for them. So yeah. I don't know. It's certainly strange.
Yeah, we'll see what they're. I feel like they're going to come out of this. I'm just hoping that they can find some leadership that could maybe lead the way here a little bit. I think they're a little confused right now. They were in the middle of a transition when the pandemic hit. You know, Bob Iger was leaving. And they were, Bob Chapek was taking over, if I'm correct, right?
You are correct.
So I think that kind of, you know, put them in the wrong direction, and they've just, they're spinning right now. And I think once they find some good leadership, which there's good people there, they'll find that good leadership, and they'll be able to get, you know, make their way through the storm. So
exactly. And I think, you know, to sort of jump into some sort of feel good news and some things that we've sort of touched on as well. They're bringing back some cast members. They're bringing back the Lion King show over at Animal Kingdom. They have confirmed that. And I think one of the best things that came out of this is, you know, obviously it's bringing back a ton of the cast members who have been furloughed, but it's bringing back the idea and the element of there being a show in Disney. I mean, if you look at, you know, sort of the whole spectrum right now in terms of the four parks, there's really not anything that's going to stick out to anybody as a show. There's no place to go and watch something happen. And I think that's part of the allure of Disney, is they have this wonderful ability to put on a really good show. So great news. It'll be interesting to see. And I think, you know, the details still really haven't come out on how they're going to do this, but I think it'll be really interesting to see if this will allow for, I sort of just feel like this is the test run, and maybe that's the best way to put it. They're going to test run this. They're going to see if it works. They're going to see what works, what doesn't work. And then this will give everything else the opportunity to open back up, from Indiana Jones, which I know Mr. Wookiee would be excited about, to you know, the Beauty and the Beast show, Finding Nemo, those pinnacle shows that we're used to. This will be sort of the test run. And I think there's no better show than The Lion King to sort of test this out, see sort of how all the moving parts are going to work, try to still keep everybody socially distant, keep everybody, you know, sort of in their own corners, because I'm sure that it'll be limited capacity. There'll be a certain amount of people that'll be allowed into, you know, sort of that theater. So it'll be really, really interesting to see how this is all going to play out. And again, I do sort of foresee this being sort of a test run as something that, we're going to try it. We're going to see if it works, you know, and they're sort of just tossing the SpaghettiOs up against the wall to see how long they'll stick. So
no, I agree with you. We've gone to shows at other parks. We've gone to Universal. Like I said, Universal and SeaWorld have figured it out. You know, you just set everybody in a different row, you know, you sit in your little assigned area and you don't move, you know?
Right.
Disney, I think they can take care of that. And I think, you know, all the furloughed cast members are going to be really happy that they're getting their job back. The only complaint I have about the barriers or whatever is when you're on Thunder Mountain and you're going like down that little ramp. Like, I feel like I'm just like, I'm like this Like the I'm like, yeah. I'm stuck.
Yeah. But help.
Help me. I'm stuck in here. But no, like the shows, it'll be great. I guarantee it'll be just like it was before. The Festival of the Lion King is my favorite show at Disney. Obviously, Lion King being my favorite movie, it's easy to sit there and enjoy that show for the, what is it, about 20, 30 minutes it is. So.
Right. Yeah. Yep. No, I agree. It is. It's overall just great news, you know, on all fronts, because I think, you know, as we continue to come out of this pandemic that we're in and sort of feel as though the weight is being lifted off our shoulders as the vaccine comes out, things of that nature, it'll be nice to have Disney again. But I'll be curious to see how quickly everything will progress after that. And it sort of brings me into my next point here. And that's, you know, I want to talk a little bit about my trip. So we left on Thursday and we left from Boston like we normally do. And everything was really good. Like I see a lot of posts on a lot of different forums and a lot of different groups about, you know, how was the airport? How did everyone react around the airport? Was everything good? And, you know, at least in Massachusetts here, everything is probably more strict than anywhere else, or at least that's how I feel.
Yeah.
You know, we arrive, we have our masks on, we check in, they check our temperature. They put us through security. We walk over to our gate and we get on and everything's good. So that was a great aspect of it. We arrived in Orlando and again, we didn't face any issues. We rented a car through Alamo, which I have found to be probably one of my favorite rental companies to work with. They're affiliated with Enterprise, and you can check in online. You do everything pretty much right there. You know, you don't even necessarily have to go up to the front desk, but because the line was so short, I did, because I am of the belief that my charm and my blue eyes, I can usually get an upgrade if I ask nicely.
Trust me, I've been there before.
Yeah, there you go. So I usually go up to the counter, even though I don't have to. And my wife always says, well, you don't have to go up there and do all that stuff. I'm like, listen, I'm going to at least try to get an upgrade. And sure enough, you know, the guy behind the counter was really nice. And I always just try to say, hey, how's your day going? You know, is it the start of your day or are you almost done? And I try to just have an upbeat conversation with these people because, you know, for me, I work in a retail setting that if someone's nice to me, if someone really takes the time to, you know, conversate and understand how my day is going, all of a sudden I want to treat them well, even more so than I would normally. So for me, you know, I always think, all right, if I can go up there, I can be kind and nice and sweet and throw on the charm. I can at least ask, hey, is there any upgrades available? Is that Ford Mustang with the convertible top available? you know, so it's just one of those things. And I try to talk about this on my show a lot, is if you can be kind to the people that are in front of you, then you're going to have a better time from the get-go. So we did get the upgrade, just in case anyone's wondering. we went from a mid-size SUV to a full-size, which was really nice. It obviously made transporting you and Kathy a little bit easier around. We had the awesome opportunity to hang out with Alicia Haig, who is a correspondent on our news show. We put out the news show on Thursday night. So we left on Thursday morning. We got there Thursday. We were able to meet with Alicia, which was really, really cool. She's such an awesome person. I can't talk enough about how welcoming she was. And I mean, we are two people, Jen and I are two people who really know and understand Disney. And Alicia was awesome in taking my wife to some of the cool spots that have all the merch that my wife had been looking for. And all of that stuff was just really, really nice. And we got on a lot of attractions too. A lot of the stuff on Thursday was walk on. So that aspect, it was really, really nice as well. And on Thursday we had dinner over at Teppanito, which is probably becoming one of my favorite places to eat. They do a phenomenal hibachi spread. The chef who comes over and does, you know, all the cooking is always really, really personable. And for me, that's just it's just a cool way to start sort of the whole process of being on vacation, because He's interactive. He's fun. He's trying to make sure that everyone's having a good time. So had a great time over at doing that. And then on was it Friday night that we had dinner together, John?
Yep. The Friday night. Yeah.
So Friday was another awesome day. Like, it was an awesome vacation. So Friday morning, we got boarding group 12 for Rise of the Resistance. So we were up early. We were part of the first like 16, I think, that they called. And we got to do Hollywood Studios. We were able to get Alicia on to see her boyfriend, Kylo Ren, for the first time to see.
Oh, that's so cute.
Right? We were able to get her on to see Rise of Resistance as well. Which was just, it was just really cool. Like, and then after that, my wife and your wife are huge fans of the Disney outlet.
Oh, yeah.
We've talked about that privately. And we were able to take Alicia, who's this big Disney shopper, over to the outlet over near Universal, which is over on International Drive.
Yep.
So we were able to head over there, and my wife and she were able to shop. And I don't know what it is. I don't know why I get so thrilled when my wife is like, I like this one. I'm like, just get it. That's great.
Just get it. Yeah, go ahead. Whatever. Yeah, just put it on the card.
We're at the outlet. Like, it's okay.
It's okay. It's only like $8.99 here. It's awesome.
Exactly. So it was just, that was a lot of fun. And then, we went back over to, Hollywood Studios, and we did Toy Story Mania. We did a couple things over there, and then we ultimately left. We went and we sort of, freshened up because we had a big date. We were heading out to go see you guys, and we went over to, now forgive me, I'm going to call it, Tortellini Alfredo, because I don't know the specific name of it.
I call it Tortellino Alfredo too, so don't feel bad.
There we go. So we went over to there, which I'm sure everybody knows what we're talking about now. But we went over there for dinner, and the waitress.
Oh boy! Was it?
So here's again. I genuinely just try to have good conversations. I try to make everybody as happy as possible when I come in to interact with them. And this waitress, for some reason, just seemed really like sad. And yeah,
she seemed like she was not having a good day when we were there.
No. And it wasn't that she was providing a bad experience. I thought she was doing a phenomenal job, but she just seemed sad. So I say to her, you're almost done. Like, is this the start of your shift or the end of your shift? That's like one of my easy, yeah, like, segue, and she's like, well, I really didn't even want to come in today. And I was like, oh no, why? Well, and then she hit us with the terrible news.
Oh God.
That her cat had died.
Yeah.
And I immediately was like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. Here I am just trying to have a conversation with you, trying to make you smile and giggle and laugh a little bit. And you are devastated. Oh, right. She was devastated. And I felt so bad that I, sort of was trying to have this good conversation and she was just so sad. And it sort of reminds me, as I'm thinking about it now, it sort of reminds me of the movie Inside Out, where sadness, mm-hmm, just kept touching these great memories. I was like, I'm trying to create good memories for this woman. And sadness is just going up
and touching
everything. So I really did feel terrible, and I know I'm giggling about it now, but it was.
It's one of those stories that you look back at, and you're just like, it was an awkward situation. It's just funny now. Like, if the cast member that had us is listening, we are sorry for the death of your cat. It was a funny moment for us at the table. So
it was, and we mean no harm by it whatsoever. It was just one of those moments where it was such an awkward, because I was just trying to be so happy, and she was just so, and I thought that I could cheer her up. I guess that's just my personality. I hoped that I could cheer her up, and she just didn't want anything to do with it, which I completely don't blame her. But the food was phenomenal.
Oh yeah.
The food was so good. I think the one thing that sort of blew me away, because we had been there before, Jennifer and I did dinner there once, but you guys told us as we sat down about the mystery item that's not on the menu.
Yeah.
And that was go ahead.
No, it's the garlic bread, and they put like their sauce on it, and then like I think there's a cheese inside of the garlic bread, or there's some kind of filling inside, but it's like one of the appetizers that's not on the menu. I think it's just like a special, and oh, that's one of my favorite things there.
Oh my gosh, it was so good. It was so delicious. Now, what I benefit from is Jen really doesn't eat a whole lot of bread. She's not a bread girl, and she's thin as a rail because of it, which I wish she'd eat just a little so I'd feel a little bit better about myself because I'm a big guy. So
listen, listen, the next time you come down, we'll go to the gym together. We'll get you back in shape. All right. I got you.
There you go. All right. Sounds good to me. I need my butt whipped. So I benefited because Jen had like two bites. She's like, wow, it's really good. I'm like, yeah, I know. You're done, right?
This is mine now.
I'm going to eat the rest of this. It was so good. And then I got the chicken parm. I believe there were three orders of chicken parm.
Yep.
Two. You and I ordered chicken parm. Mm-hmm. And then Jen ordered the lasagna. And Kathy ordered the Bolognese?
Yep. You got it. Yep.
Yeah. Yep. So, and we had phenomenal meals. We had phenomenal conversation. We left there. We went down to Disney Springs, like you mentioned. We tried to get into Gideon's, but they had a 2-hour wait and they closed in an hour. So
yeah, it's not really going to work out.
It wasn't going to work, but you know, we were able to head over to the World of Disney store. We walked around the co-op, and we just had a good time with one another. Like I said, it was really cool to interact and get to know you folks a little bit more. And like I said, I just really appreciated the time because it, like, I don't know how many people ask me, like, are you nervous to meet the people that you've met online? Like, it's this big, like, thing, like, people should be afraid of. And I was like, no. Like, I talked to these guys. I've seen their faces. I know who they are. Like, you know, I think that if they were murderous people, they probably would have stopped talking to me, like, a week ago.
It's not like Catfish anymore where you see, like, Neve's going to come up and be like, hey, are you catfishing?
Hey. Right. Are you really John?
Are you really John and Kathy? I heard your name was Brenda and Tom.
That's right. We're following you. Exactly. So no, it was really a good time. And then so we were staying at the beach club, and I contemplated, I can't remember if it was that night or it was I think it was Saturday night, which it was the coldest day. So Saturday we went over to the Magic Kingdom. Again, got to hang out with Alicia, which was really cool. We went on just about everything, but it was raining in the morning. It was sort of a cooler day. So that ride on Splash Mountain, which I went live on in This Is Life, it was, there's probably a moment where I'm like, holy cow, I'm soaked. And what happened was like the big drop, I really didn't get too wet. It was the littler ones that kept getting me. I was like, you gotta be kidding me.
Safe, and then the boat rocks to the right, and you're like, oh!
Exactly. So, but no, had a great time in Magic Kingdom. That's still, to this day, you know, one of my favorite parks. I think that as I've gotten older, I love Magic Kingdom for everything that it has to offer. It's got so much that's just, it brings you into this whole other planet. And I've talked about that a lot. But there really is that moment when you cross over the threshold. I think when you get off the monorail and you take that first step, there's just something incredible about how everything, like, it was Saturday. It was the last day of my vacation. But all of a sudden, I just felt like I was still on vacation. Everything was still off my shoulders. I was having a wonderful day, a wonderful time meeting, you know, with Alicia and my wife. And there was just something really, there's something really unique about getting there, stepping off the monorail and just being there. So,
no, and then that, I understand.
Yeah. Yeah. And then that night, we had dinner at Be Our Guest, which is one of our favorites. It's a staple for us. Jen actually did say that her meal wasn't as good as it was when we went in October. And my steak, which I can usually take a little bit of a rare steak. Like, I don't mind it. But it came out very pink.
Yeah, I've been there before. We talked about that with, I went to Cowfish and I ordered a burger medium, and it was medium. Yeah. It was rare. It wasn't medium at all.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, we had to send it back, and I think Jen threw me under the bus. She's like, Ethan doesn't say anything about his food, and it drives her crazy. And I was like, no, it's fine.
My wife's the same way.
So Jen had to stop the waitress, and she's like, miss, I'm not trying to be rude. I'm not trying to be like mean or anything like that, but my husband's food is very undercooked. And I was like, Jen, I'll eat this.
It's fine. I'll just eat it. It's fine. I'll eat around it.
Right. I'll eat around it. I'll eat what's here and then we can go. And
I'll go to the confectionery and get a cookie after. She's like, let it go.
Right. Exactly. So of course she's like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. You're absolutely right. It is undercooked. So brought it back. They cooked it up, brought it back out. It was all good, but it definitely, and it wasn't the waitress's fault. I know it's not even the chef's fault. Like they're working on 100 different orders. They're doing a lot of different things, but it doesn't leave a bad taste in my mouth necessarily, but it does sort of hinder that experience. Mm-hmm. And I can only foresee that there are certain people out there who would get that food and they would be absolutely devastated. Like, oh my, they would be throwing things and they would be upset and they would be upset.
I paid $2,000 for this vacation and this meal ruined it.
Exactly. Like it's a small minute point in the grand scheme of everything. And the thing that I dislike the most about people who are eating is they blame the waitress. And it's not her fault. Like she put in the order correctly. And like I said, it's not even necessarily the chef's fault. It was just the luck of the draw. Everybody else's food came out just fine. Like it happens. Like sometimes it can feel like it only happens to you, but it's just the way that it is. Like you just got to get over it. Roll with the punches. If you're that type of person, like my wife, you give it back, you have them recook it. They're not going to spit in your food or anything like that. That's such like a sketch comedy type of thing. You know, they genuinely, I think all the people in Disney just genuinely want to make sure that you have a good time.
And that's the biggest thing. That's the biggest thing is, you know, you have a good time at Disney. And like I said, you get that experience where you get to have a good time. And one thing I am going to tell you and your wife is that we're taking you to Geyser Point next time. So
yes,
you're ready to head over to the Wilderness Lodge and we'll go out, have some drinks and get you a bison burger. So.
There we go. I look forward to that very much so. So it's pretty cool. And I've talked about this a lot and I don't mean to get all sappy and sentimental, John, but it is so cool that this medium has brought me to introduce myself to other people from you and Kathy to Joe over in Las Vegas to, you know, James and Sarah over at Mouse Ears and Magic and Sam and the whole group over at, and Rachel, I'm sorry, over at Disology and Bill and Barry. Like, it's so amazingly incredible how these friendships have started to just sort of spurred up. And I've got a really cool group of friends now who all are like-minded people and enjoy Disney. And that to me is just really, really cool. And I appreciate your support. I appreciate you being here. And most certainly appreciate you filling for the Wookiee this week. It means a lot to me, for sure.
Oh, trust me, man. I right now I'm unemployed. So if you need me, I'm always around. So you got me for at least a few more weeks before I probably get a job or something like that. So I'm always willing to come in and have some laughs and have some fun talking about Disney with you and awesome. Go from there.
Hey, you know, why don't, before we get into this next segment, let's take a quick break. Let's go get something to eat. Let's wash our hands and we'll see you real soon.
Wolfpack, a picture is truly worth a thousand words. And one thing we talk a lot about on this show is making sure you remember those vacations with the people that you love. So whether you're coming to Florida to visit Disney or even its surrounding areas, Hinson Photography specializes in vacation portraits for everyone. This is a wonderful souvenir that you and the ones you love will absolutely never forget. Visit Hinson Photography, so that's Hinson photography.com, or call 386-478-8099 to learn more about booking vacation portraits with Hinson Photography. Again, that is Hinson, Hinson photography.com, or call 386-478-8099 to learn more about the packages that they offer. I thought it would be fun, John, today, if we did, I know you're a big hockey fan, and I'm a big hockey fan as well. You are a Pittsburgh Penguins guy, and I am a Boston Bruins guy. And I thought it would be a lot of fun to put together a Disney hockey team with a coach. And the reason why I did this is because you talked very fondly in your last show with us about the Mighty Ducks. You talked about your love for hockey. I know you've got a hockey TikTok going on right now, which is pretty cool. So I thought this would be a lot of fun. I got a giveaway
that I'm really regretting at this point, because I have to type 1,000 names into a wheel on Google. So it's been interesting.
Yeah, that's got to be tough. Yeah, but
it's different.
That's awesome. 1,000 followers. That's really, really cool, man. And remind me, what jersey are you giving away?
St. Louis Blues jersey.
Yeah, you could just burn. If I win, you could just burn it.
Okay, I'll do that for you.
All right. I'm kidding. You can pick the next person who wants it, because I have absolutely zero desire.
Well, actually, I can tell you, you and my wife are in the same boat. She doesn't like them either. So
yeah, there we go. Well, that's good. So again, I thought it would be funny. So we're going to do, we need a goalie. We need a right wing, center, a left wing. We need a left D, a right D, and a coach. I thought it would be cool to have a coach. Obviously, if you're familiar with any of the Disney movies, there are two that sort of stick out right away.
Yeah.
But what I thought would be interesting, and it's okay if you didn't think this way, but I thought, you know, you can do live action characters, you can do animated characters. To me, it really didn't matter. But I am going to try to stay away from your picks. I'm going to hope that you do the same. And since you are the guest and you are the native of Orlando, I will allow you, sir, to go first. And I'll be excited to hear in which direction you go, because the thing about this is you can pick your coach first, you could pick your goalie first, you can pick your center first. But as soon as you pick, it's off the board.
Okay. I'm going to go first then, because I know this character may get picked. I'm going to go first for goalie, because I am a goalie. I'm going to take Wild Wing from the animated series of the Mighty Ducks.
Very nice. I like that pick, because it's not who I picked for goalie. That works.
He actually plays goalie in the series, so I think he might be okay at that position.
Absolutely. I am going to take with my first pick, and I thought about going coach or goalie, but I always enjoyed the center. From Joe Thornton back in when he played for the Bruins, he was one of my favorite centers. And I think, you know, I also almost went, you know, left D, because Ray Bourque was probably one of my favorite players of all time. But I'm going to go center here. Adam Banks from the Mighty Ducks. Yes. You know, he was probably one of the better players. He always had sort of that talent. He's injury prone. I'll give you that.
Yeah. He gets injured in every movie.
Gets injured in every movie. But when he's on, I like him a lot. So I'm taking Adam Banks as my first pick of the draft here. So I'm going to keep a running list here. So we've got Adam Banks, and you, sir, took, remind me again.
Wild Wing.
Wild Wing. That's right. And that's
goalie. The Ducks mascot now. So that's when he resides. That's his residency.
Yep. Absolutely. All right, sir. It is your pick.
All right. I think I'm going to go coach on this one, because I want to make sure. But I don't think you're going to expect the way I'm going to go here. I'm going to take Tadashi from Big Hero 6.
Oh, no. I was not expecting that at all.
See, there's a reason I did that, is because he has such a great mind in that movie that he could build Baymax. I figure he could figure out hockey pretty quickly.
Okay. I like that. I like that a lot. Hey, good selection. So for my next pick, I'm going to go left D, because I think this is somebody to me that would be, he's strong, he's powerful, he's got a good sense of like protective skills, not only of his goalie, but of like his entire team. And I could almost see him wearing the letter C on his jersey, and that would be Sully from Monsters, Inc.
Oh, okay. That's a good pick. I like that.
I think that he would be a great left defenseman. I think that he's athletic. I mean, he's got Mike in his corner, like getting him through the up and downs. You know, he's got pretty good agile strength. I like the pick as well. I'm going with Sully as my left defenseman. The pick is yours, sir.
All right. I think I'm going to follow in the same steps as you, is pick a left defenseman.
Okay.
This guy says, don't stop him when he's on the breakaway. So I'm going to go with Maui from Moana.
Maui. I like that. Nice
selection. I figure, you know, a nice big defenseman, you need those in hockey, and he's one of those ones, and I think he'd be a pretty quick skater too. So we'll see.
Yep. There you go. Absolutely. I am I'm gonna select a coach because I was a little surprised that you didn't select one of these two. I'm gonna go. Oh goodness, I've got two really great selections here. I'm gonna go with Herb Brooks from the movie Miracle.
I didn't even think of that one.
Yeah. So of course I also had Gordon Bombay. He was another person that sort of stuck out to me, that just said, yeah, a ragtag group that I'm putting together here. He could coach them, he could make them work. But Herb Brooks, for whatever reason, that movie Miracle, I think it just doesn't get talked about enough.
A lot of people don't even realize it's a Disney movie.
Yeah, exactly. But it was it's an incredible story. And you know, for someone like us who we weren't around during that era to really follow it in closely or intensely, but as hockey fans, what they accomplished, what they were able to do as a team is second to none. Absolutely incredible. True underdog story. Really, really phenomenal movie.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. And I mean, I know you mentioned that moment and just the craziness that I watched that ESPN 30 for 30. I don't know if you got to watch that, where it was the Russian side of the story.
Yeah.
And you actually had to see what they had to go through after they lost that game. And it's just like, you realize how great of a story Miracle is. Like this ragtag group of college kids go and defeat the Russians. But you have to realize there's another story on that side where these Russian players, they were getting drafted to the NHL and they didn't even know about it. The goalie for the Russians, Tretiak, he literally stopped playing hockey because of how much he hated the coach of the Russians. And he was drafted by the NHL 3 or 4 times and didn't even know about it. Like, it's just crazy to think how life was back then. I mean, for me, for my picks, I stuck with the animated side because I wanted a challenge. So just a heads up on the rest of my picks. So,
all right. Not a problem. I've got some animated ones as well, but Adam Banks and Herb Brooks.
Oh, I know you're good. I understand. I get it.
I had to put them in there. So the next selection is yours, sir.
I think I'm going to take a center, and it's one of the few Disney characters that actually plays hockey. I'm going to take Riley from Inside Out.
Oh, great selection.
Yeah.
That is a awesome, awesome selection. I agree with this wholeheartedly. She's a fun character. Mm-hmm. Really. And I think, you know, what's interesting about her is you learn so much about her on like the inside of her mind, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. You know, you learn about Bing Bong, you learn about like her love for hockey, you learn about all those things, you know, sort of not necessarily at the forefront. You learn it in like stories and background. I really enjoy that aspect of that film. So awesome selection. I am going to go with the next person who also appeared to play hockey in a animated, it's not a film, it was a short, and that would be Mr. Donald Duck.
He took one of mine. So I might be doing live action now because I'm on the fly.
There we go. Donald Duck to me, you know, I think I got to try it. It was 1937 or 36.
Yeah, I've watched it on Disney Plus.
Yeah, I saw it not too long ago as well. And he was playing hockey with his three boys, and it's just a fun little short. And he'd probably be pretty good. And I also see him as sort of, you know, the right wing. So he's got that, let's see, who can I, he's kind of got that,
enforcer. Is that the word we're looking for?
Yeah, he's kind of the rat. He's kind of the rat. He's kind of the marshal. Almost.
You know? My wife and you had a nice little conversation about that one. So
that's right. But no, I think, you know, he's kind of got that type of attitude where if someone got in his face, he'd be right there trying to throw some hands. So I like Donald Duck at right wing.
Oh, by the way, I don't know if you've ever seen it. Have you seen the Donald Duck jerseys they have that Disney made back in the 90s?
No, I haven't.
they like have Donald on the front. It's like a blue and yellow jersey, I think, and it says like Donald's Ducks or something like that. Oh, and wow. It has him playing hockey.
That's cool.
I told my wife, I said, you know, whenever you're feeling like you want to just, you know, surprise me, spur of the moment, that'd be something cool I could wear to the park. So cool.
Heck yeah, that's really cool. The pick is yours, sir.
So I'm gonna go with another defenseman here.
Okay.
I'm gonna take Fulton Reed from the Mighty Ducks as my enforcer slash you know, guy that can shoot the puck 100 miles an hour.
Yeah, that is a awesome pick. Fulton Reed, when he and the other Bash brother there, when they came together, Dean Portman, when those two came together in Mighty Ducks 2, that was probably like one of my favorite moments.
Oh yeah,
they come together and they're like, they're listening to the music. That they're the only two that are still up late, like
yeah, listening to Pantera. They're just having a good old time.
Exactly. Yeah, those two to me are definitely just a ton of fun, and I think they provide that sort of comic relief that, you know, was sort of necessary for that film.
Yeah, so. I agree. And then and the third one, I know very many people aren't too fond of the third one, but I think the third one has the best hockey action out of all of them.
Sure.
And I would agree. When Dean Portman comes back in the third period and hip checks the goon for the other team over the glass, that's one of my favorite scenes.
Yeah, that's a good one as well. All right, so let's see. I need a goalie.
Oh boy, I'm interested to see where this one goes.
Yeah, I am too, because all right, let's see. I'm gonna go with, kind of need someone who's quick, maybe a little bit bigger. Goodness gracious me. I'm gonna go with, oh goodness, wow. I really want to go.
Now he's blanking.
Yeah, well, I have something written down, and I was like, oh, I really like want to. I want to go head back to the animation, because I have Julie the Cat Gaffney down as goalie.
Ooh.
Which I think is a great pick. But
yeah,
I'm gonna go in an opposite direction, and I'm gonna go with, I think I'm gonna go Genie at goalie.
That'd be interesting. That's an interesting pick.
Because I think he can morph, and he can put on the pad, he can put on the mask, and I think like he would be funny, like he would be a funny goalie, like he'd be like,
yeah,
whoa man, that wasn't very fast at all, like he would have fun with it. And I think that I think the Genie at goalie, and the reason why I'm thinking like sort of funny is because Goldberg in, you know, the first two Mighty Duck films
is another comic relief. Yeah,
exactly. And he's a big dude. Like he can barely skate. He's very aware of that. So I definitely think that the Genie would be able to sort of provide like that comic relief. Like, hey man, like, can you shoot it any faster? Like
I'm bored,
you know, like,
but yeah, I mean, you mentioned Julie the Cat Gaffney. She really doesn't do too well, except for like the slap shot against Gunnar Stahl in the final game in Mighty Ducks D3. Yep. Everyone keeps saying she's this amazing goalie, and I'm like, yeah, she doesn't do too hot. You know, Goldberg, you know, he's pretty good.
Pretty good. He's pretty okay. So I'm going to go with Genie there. I like that pick. And the picks are, it goes over back over to you.
So I think I need, what, two wingers left?
Yeah, you need a right wing and a left wing.
Okay. Give me one second here. I think I'm going to go with Tarzan for my right wing.
Ooh, awesome selection. Strong, fast.
Yeah, strong, fast, and he'd look at the puck. He'd be like, "Me, Tarzan, me, score goal, me, score run goal. Over goalie."
No, that's an awesome pick. I don't hate it. I don't hate it at all.
I picked my wife for that one. She was the one that was like, "What about Tarzan?" I'm like, "Oh, I didn't even think of him."
Yeah, nope. That's a great selection for sure. All right, so that brings me over to, I still need a right defenseman and a left winger. So I'm gonna play defense here. You selected Maui, which is a great selection. And for me, I think I'm gonna go with I'm gonna go with Randall from Monsters Inc.
Okay.
As my left defenseman. or my right defenseman, because, you know, again, I think he's not necessarily the strongest guy. He to me sort of sticks out as like a Charlie McAvoy.
Yeah.
He's quick. He's agile. He can be sort of that offensive defensive player that isn't afraid to bring the puck up. And I'm going to go Randall with right defenseman. All right. We're down to our last pick, sir.
All right. Well, this one is just a personal favorite, and I wanted to try to figure out a way to get him in here. He's going to be a great force in front of the goalie on the power play. We're going to take Wreck-It Ralph as my last pick.
Oh, good selection.
I figure he can be that grinder type forward that can go in and get the puck out, get it to Riley and get it to Tarzan and get some goals and everything else, get some nice points.
Absolutely. Sergei Samsonov comes to mind when I think of a left wing. For whatever reason, right, or he was either right or left, I can't quite remember, but like in the mid 2000s, he was one of the dudes that just always stuck out as a wonderful, wonderful player. All right, so I need one final pick here. I am in need of a left wing as well, and I'm gonna steal what I think to be someone who is also sort of that enforcer type, like a Milan Lucic, which I'm pulling from the Bruins. I'm going to go with Beast from Beauty and the Beast. I think that he can slap shot that puck in there and will really provide sort of that element of, you know, I'm going to beat you up if I have to, but mm-hmm. I can beat you on the boards too. So.
Yeah, that's the same pick with me. We seem to have the same ideas here.
Yeah, we do. And I think what's funny is we're both hockey fans, so we're on the same page.
Yeah,
we're on the same page for sure. Let me just hit us with the lineups here. So again, from Team Wolf, we've got Adam Banks from Mighty Ducks. We've got Sully at left defenseman. We've got Herb Brooks as the coach. Donald Duck over at right wing, the Genie playing goalie, Randall from Monsters Incorporated at right defenseman, and the Beast over at left wing. And for John, Team Mouse, we have Wild Wing at goalie. We have Tadashi over at coach, Maui at left defenseman, Riley at center from inside out, Fulton Reed, that's an awesome pick, over at right defenseman from the Mighty Ducks as well. Tarzan playing right wing and Wreck-It Ralph playing left wing. Buddy, those are awesome, awesome picks.
I love this game. This was really fun. I really enjoyed this one. This was a good game. I liked it.
Thank you. I appreciate you coming in on short notice. I got in touch with you yesterday and said, hey, you know, the Wookiees on vacation. Let's put something together. And I appreciate you on short notice coming in and talking Disney with us. And you know, we had some good laughs along the way too. So that's what makes us even more fun. So.
Oh, exactly. I've had a blast so far. And like I said, anytime you need me, I'm always here for you. So.
Awesome, man. Well, I appreciate that. Again, John, thank you. Let's just remind everybody where can the Wolfpack find you? And give us the details.
Yeah. You can listen to me and my wonderful wife on Started with the Mouse podcast. We're on Apple Podcasts and SoundCloud for those users that don't have the iPhones yet. So we also help to Android. But on YouTube, you can check out our vlog as well if you want to see our beautiful faces. We are JK Adventures .live, and that's DOTLIVE. So you can check us out on there. We're going to be posting quite a bit on there. We have a few videos in the can from Christmas time that just are going to be uploaded here soon. And like I said, we got a podcast coming out today. Just kind of going back and talking about all the things that we've done here in Disney, you know, since moving, since October. And then our next episode is going to be kind of the Fast Pass episode. See what me and Kathy feel about it. I mean, obviously I talked a little bit about it here on the show with you. But we're going to kind of go to full depth as well. And if you guys want to listen to it, Ethan was on our last episode as well. He really dove into DVC for us, really helped us out and kind of explaining it the last time we had a DVC episode. It's kind of a train wreck. It just sounded like we were reading off a teleprompter. But with you there and Joe there as well, like you'd mentioned before, it made it really fun. We had some laughs, everything else. So anytime, like I said, We need somebody to talk Disney. Don't worry, I'll be giving you a call. So
absolutely. Feel free to do the same. I'm always I'm a huge proponent for you guys. Like, I'm a huge, huge fan. And Wolfpack, I can't talk enough about John and Kathy. They're not only wonderful, you know, podcast hosts and vloggists, if that's the proper term for that.
Vlogger, maybe.
Vlogger, I don't know. Vlogger. All right.
Okay. But you're close. You're close.
Yeah, but there's multiple. So is it vloggists
or vloggers? Sure.
I don't know. Yeah. Anyway, it's a topic for another day. But anyway, they're wonderful vloggers. But not only that, all that, but they're absolutely phenomenal people. And that. That to me is what means the most. So please take a moment to go check them out over at their podcast, which is Started with a Mouse podcast on all your favorite listening apps, or jk.live.
Yeah.
jkadventures.live.
Yep. jkadventures.live.
Yep. And that's dot spelled out dot live over on YouTube. So, John, thank you again. I really appreciate the time. As always, Wolfpack, if you or someone you know would like to be on the show, or if you would have any questions, comments, concerns, or there's something Disney that you want to talk about, I am always here to help with any of those questions. I am a frequent goer. We went in January. We have a trip booked for February. My wife will probably at some point say that she wants to go in March. So the trips to Disney for us never stop. So if you do have any questions, or if there's anything I can do to help make your experience just a little bit better, please let me know. I can definitely provide the answers. And if I don't know the answers, I definitely know someone who does. So with all of that in mind, please feel free to check me out. I started we are teamed up with This Diz Life, which everybody knows at this point, but we started on Thursday. We did a live news show, which was a lot of fun. I was able to host it. We're going to do that again on Thursday. We're going to see how it goes. The first one was a lot of fun, and the next one I think is going to be a little bit more me-centric, which I'm a little nervous about, but we're gonna try to stick to the news a little bit more and maybe even keep it a little bit shorter. So Wolfpack, as always, I really appreciate the time. I hope that you continue to stay kind, wash your hands, and we will see you real soon.